A very good morning to all of you, brothers and sisters of Desa Park City Baptist Church. All right, I count it an honor to be here with you to share the Word of God. And I count it a joy to know your senior pastor, Reverend John Cock, some probably 4 years back. We met because we were kindly invited by Pastor Daniel Ho to be in the mentoring group. And since then, I found your senior pastor a good man, a good pastor. So praise God for your pastor and for the church, KL Baptist Church, and also Desa Park City Church, the work that God is doing through you. Praise God. KL Baptist and Desa Park City, basically, I see it as a missional and giving church. Praise God for that. I pray that God will continue to bless you so that you are a blessing just like Abraham unto nations, not just Vietnam, Philippines, but many more nations. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to briefly show you my family so that you may connect with me better, so that you know who I am. This is my family, wife and my children, Jared, and my young daughter, Joanna. And so they are strong support together with me. So since I planted the church, they have served together every week. All right. And so I praise God for my family. This morning, I want to share with us the message entitled Mission That Never Fail, taken from Acts 11. All right. And here is the passage. Let us read together, if you can. 1, 2. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw that the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church, taught great number of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This is chapter 13 now. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manin, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." And so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. I want to share with us from this passage in Acts 11 and 13 that we have just read. Just want to bring up 3 points. First, start small. We know in the Bible, the mission of the church, the first mission of the church, the New Testament church, started off from Jerusalem and persecution broke out when dear brother Stephen, full of the Spirit, powerful preacher, he was stoned to death. The church faced immense persecution in chapter 7 onwards. And right there, after that, the church dispersed. The Jerusalem church is still there, but many has been scattered. Just as Jesus said in recorded in the Gospels, when you're persecuted in one place, flee to another and preach the gospel. So that's what they did. Given a choice, in good times, we don't want to move. That's human nature, right? And if we were to stick to our own desire, and all of us are doomed. Or should I say, if they stick to their own desire at that time, we are all doomed because we won't have gospel to hear. But God, in His mercy and infinite wisdom, though persecution shall come, Jesus has said, apostles have said, but the persecution, even as they come, God will use it to advance the gospel, to advance the preaching of the gospel in the church. And so, that's what we see. The disciples were scattered due to that persecution, and some went as far as to the north, Phoenicia, all right, just north of Israel. Some as far as Cyprus, which is an island off from Israel on the west. Okay, and some as far as Cyrene, which is actually north of Africa, somewhere in Libya. All right, and others as far as Antioch at the north. So they travel very far because of the persecution. They find a new place to live. Maybe they have some connections or some relatives, you know. And that's how the gospel is carried. And the Bible say, as they move on, they preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. Jesus said this to the disciples, recorded in Luke 21. The persecution will come, and you will be betrayed. You will be put before the rulers, the officials, but you will become my witness right before them. So persecution will come, expected, but even when it comes, we will still preach the gospel. And Jesus said, don't worry even about what you're going to say the next word. You know, a lot of people, they started, don't know what to say when one would preach the gospel, right? Because we do not know where to start, what next to say. But Jesus said, don't worry. When you stand before them, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. All right? And so these disciples who settled down in Antioch, the north, in present-day Syria, all right? They preached the gospel to the Gentiles, the non-Jew. They preached gospel to Jews, but some preach to the Greeks as well. That means the Gentiles. So this is a cross-cultural mission. And there's no names of hero mentioned. Just basically saying these disciples preach to the people there. Preach to the Greek, you know. When I consider this, I praise God that many a times, that's what God does with believers like us. I checked into Wikipedia to find out a little bit of the history of Baptist Church in Malaysia. There it stated in 1905, the immigrants from China, Suatau, all right, they came to Malaya, and Malaysia Baptist Convention was formed that year, 1905. And some missionaries from America, Southern Foreign Mission Board, all right, Southern Baptist, they came to help. the works were started here. So 1905, the work started with the immigrants from China, Swatow, all right? And that's how Baptist Church started. And I believe when they came, these immigrants who came, some of them are basically are Christians, and they would preach the gospel. My father told me that my grandfather also came from China, but do not know which year. Probably 1920s, times that were turbulence and wars and flood. My grandfather came from Swabe. All right, this is Hokkien. Those who speak Hokkien, you know, Swatow is the head of the mountain. My grandfather came from the Swabe. All right, the foot of the hill. All right, I never been there, so I do not know. But basically, Guangdong. All right, he came from there to Malaya as well. And what an honor, because he came and actively preached. So he was like a preacher in gospel hall. Those who know Klang, the bridge under there, there is a gospel hall church. I was told my grandfather preaches there when he was in Malaya. But he went back to be with the Lord very young age. So I never met my grandfather. I'll meet him in one day. So that's how mission continue on from Jerusalem to Antioch, and from Antioch today we shall see the Holy Spirit after just a short few years continue to propel the disciples, and it went and it go on and on. All right, so the mission continues until the return of Jesus Christ. We preach the gospel. I put here, everybody can preach, all right? Somewhat borrow a little bit from Asia, huh? Everybody can fly. Everybody can preach, all right? Say amen. Yeah. Yeah, yesterday I was having a dinner together with my former lecturer, Dato Dr. Tan, who is also your deputy chairman, all right? We have a good lunch, a good dinner together with some alumni, all right? And so you know, we talk a little bit about God, you know, with the alumni. So all of us can preach, whether you are pastor or not. Right? You can talk about Jesus. You can talk about your own testimony. All right. It's very hard to refute your own testimony, how God, what God has done. You know, just share. And it's a good starter always. All right. And if the situation allows you, just continue on. Share about Jesus. All right. So everybody can preach. That's how mission is begun. And because of persecution, we know that in the days to come, it's not going to be easy. In fact, according to Open Doors, this year, yet again, record high in terms of Christians who are persecuted in the worldwide. All right. I think the figure is 300 over million Christians who are severely persecuted for the Christian faith. So the days ahead is not going to be easy. It's going to be harder and harder, right? But take heart, my brothers and sisters, because the Lord is with us. He will give us strength, right? And as we take hold of that gospel, take hold of our eternal destiny, and do not deny the Lord. Do not give up our faith. Share the gospel. Great is our reward in heaven. Amen. Amen. All right. Start small. Start even with yourself. All right. Share the gospel with your colleagues, with your friends. The second thing, in the passage that we have just read just now, is build it. When the church in Jerusalem heard that there were some disciples in Antioch, all right, more and more disciples, more and more those who believe, the church in Jerusalem, being the mother church, decided that they will send a leader to go and help. Just like the Southern Baptist Mission Board, you know, send their missionary to help the Baptist church here. This is what they did here. Jerusalem's church sent Barnabas. Barnabas, we know a little bit of him in Acts 5. Bible says he is a giver. All right. He sold one of his piece of land and brought the money to the feet of apostles. All right. That's what the early church did. Moved by the Holy Spirit, they would sell off some of their properties, you know, and bring the money to the feet of apostles so that they could redistribute it to those who are in need. So Barnabas was specially named, all right? Although we also know that another couple who were named, all right, Ananias and Sapphira, they deceived, all right? They kept some of it, you know, so the Holy Spirit judged them. But Barnabas is a giver. And the Bible says he is full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To do the mission work, we can't do it in our own energy. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit. So he was full of the Holy Spirit, that Bible says in Acts 5. That's Barnabas. So they sent him to help the church in Antioch. All right. And it's quite far off. I think they travel on foot and or on animal. It would take them probably 2-3 days at least. All right? And so when Barnabas was there, he saw the grace of God. So many who believe. So he taught them. And he decided that he would not do it alone. He would get someone to work alongside him. And so he went to Tarsus to find this man called Saul, who later on was called Paul, all right? One of the greatest apostles. At that time, he was still new in his faith, but he's growing very fast, all right? Saul was growing in the faith very fast. He was in Tarsus. So from Antioch to Tarsus, the distance is about, I've recorded, I think, about 200 kilometers, all right? So it would take another, just like from here to Ipoh, you know, or even beyond that. So on animal, it would travel to 3 days, perhaps. So you can see the zeal of Barnabas, you know. When we want to do God's work, there will be sacrifice. We have to pay the price, all right? But the reward is great, okay? So Barnabas went to look for Saul, and he found Saul. At that time, nobody dared to associate with Saul, really, because he persecuted the church, right? You remember his story, all right? He was on his way, going up north to Damascus with the authority, with a document, all right, from the authority to persecute, to arrest Christians, all right, and put them in jail and torture them. But he met Jesus in bright light, okay? So he was a changed man. But still, many people do not know, and so no Christians dare to go near him. But Barnabas, has a big heart, go and look for him and brought him over. And together, they spent one whole year, the Bible says, one whole year teaching the believers. Brothers and sisters, when we preach the gospel and when people come to Christ, it is always a journey. Remember that. It's always a journey. We have to preach the gospel again and again. Because when people believe in the preaching of the gospel that we share, they may catch 30% first and then 50%, all right? And they like a certain part of the gospel, all right? And they somehow filter out other parts of the gospel. You know, normally they will filter out, you have to repent. You have to turn away from that sin, all right, and so on. And that part normally people just filter off. So that's why people come to Christ. It's a process. We need to teach them. Teach the gospel. Teach the Bible. Teach the word of God. Teach the truth systematically. And that's how we build deep, all right? And they did it. So that time, according to the timeline, is about AD 42 to 44. They spent about two years or so, all right, teaching the church, all right? And within about less than 4 years, all right, when we reached chapter 13 of Book of Acts, there were already other leaders together with them. So Barnabas, Saul, and then there were three other names. And the Bible say they were prophets and teachers. Okay. Barnabas and Saul wasn't called prophet in the first place. But now the Holy Spirit has upgraded them, has given them more grace, right? So they are now prophets and teachers together with the other three. So in building the church, in doing the work of mission, building up leaders, equipping leaders is fundamental, essential, very critical, right? And the Bible says if any one of us here desire to be serving as deacon or elders, they are desiring a noble task. And so desire for it. The Bible tells us desire so that we can go higher in the kingdom of God, right? We can do more for the kingdom of God. And so leaders emerge in that church. Praise God. I pray that more leaders will emerge here. Amen. No amen, huh? Okay. I pray that there will be those who hear the call of God and become the next John Cock here. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yeah, Baptist Church got hope. Okay. Yeah, leaders. Leaders used by God. Leaders filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Leaders who have the heart of Christ. All right, leaders will lead and go very far. And they depend on the Holy Spirit. All right. Church work, mission work is not human work. It's God's work. And we need God's power. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will have power to be my witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so they have learned it well. They learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. Barnabas learned to depend on the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. Saul, he was filled with the Spirit when he was first prayed by a disciple, Ananias, and his eyes were blinded. Being laid hand prayed, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he continued to grow in the grace of God. So we too, let us be filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to be filled with the Spirit and depend on the Holy Spirit to be led. Because we notice that the Holy Spirit speaks to them. Okay, we need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit. In chapter 13, the leaders were gathering together. They were worshiping the Lord, praying, having a time just to draw near to God collectively as the leaders, and fasting. All right. So as leaders, we don't just feast, we must fast as well. There will be time for feasting, and there will be time for fasting. And that's what they did. They fast together, worship together, pray together. And it is in that kind of spiritual atmosphere they heard the Holy Spirit say, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have for them. For the work to which I have called them. So build deep. Build deep in the Spirit. Build deep in the Word. All right. When we are well equipped in these two areas, in the Word of God and in the Spirit, we will have like two wings of the bird or the two wings of the eagle, and we can soar high. All right. But if you just have one wing, we can't really fly. We are just going around and around. We need both. Amen. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And we need to dig deep into the Word of God. Just like the disciples in Antioch. They really learned the Word. Okay? Such that they were transformed. Because the Bible there says, disciples were first called Christian in Antioch. Elsewhere, this word was not applied to the believers. The first time believers of Jesus Christ were called Christian, it started in Antioch. And it simply means little Christ. It's a little bit derogative, all right? It's a little bit like sarcasm. In our context, Chinese, ye sou zai. Okay? Because why? Because they really are committed, devoted to the word, devoted to the truth of God. You're right. So they easily, you can see the separation set apart from the world. Because some of the things, what the world does, they don't, see? They follow the way of Jesus. So people give them that word. They are Christians. They are little Christ. That shows they really grow in the word of God. That shows that they are really being transformed like Christ. All right. Although it's a sarcasm from those who are against the gospel, but it's a glory for God. Just like Jesus are also being derogated by those who don't believe in him. But the God the Father raised him up and gave him the highest honor, name above all other names. We, the followers of Christ, will go after the footsteps of Jesus too. So Christians were called then. And then after that, now we all call Christians, right? We seldom use the word disciple nowadays. Are you Christians? All right. We normally say, are you Christians? All right. But that's how it started. Because they grow deep in the word. So I encourage us, read the Bible. All of us can preach, but you need to read the Bible first. All right. Otherwise, you have nothing to preach. You share your own ignorance. Okay? Read the Bible. Dig deep. All right. Spend time. Dig deep. Learn how to meditate the Word of God. Learn how to study the Word of God. And then apply the Word of God. And then preach the Word of God. All right? So dig deep. That's build deep. Everybody say, build deep. First is what? Start small. Okay, start small. Remember, start with your own family. Because our children needs to be discipled first. Alright? So start small. Start with ourselves. Start with our own family. If you are father or mother, disciple your own children. Because we know the culture out there is so powerful, capturing their heart and mind. Alright? So we have to disciple them. Teach them the Word of God. Pray together with them. Read the Bible together with them. Start small, but build deep, right? Build deep. Third, go far, right? Go far. Oh, time is up. Let me quickly finish my last point. Go far. When the Holy Spirit spoke to the leaders, the Holy Spirit say, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. You remember, they are the founders, right? They are the founders. And, mind you, it's not 20 years later. All right? The church started around AD 42 to 44, according to Bible scholars. And chapter 13 is about AD 46. So at most, it is about 4 years. How old is Desa Park City? Almost 9 years. Double. Okay, your age is double than Antioch Church when Paul and Barnabas was called to send out. Wow, imagine. The Holy Spirit say, send out. Reverend John Cook, Pastor Sunny, and one after another. Wow. How do you feel? Your legs start to shake, is it? Yo, Lord, please, okay, we keep the best, we send the small one first, okay, but the Holy Spirit has a different strategy. The Holy Spirit send the best. God will force us to grow. Huh? God will force us to grow. And the Holy Spirit is the leader for the church. So God knows what He does, what He's doing. God will take care. All right. And indeed, we see Antioch Church continue to be very stable, even after they have sent out Barnabas and Saul, who is Paul later on. So, go far. Go far. When the Holy Spirit asks us to change course or give us a new vision, oftentimes it is God's size. Do you believe that? God's work is God's size and can't be done by just human strength. And so if we were to depend on ourselves, we would turn down that call. We would say, no, God, it's not for me. It's for somebody else. So we have to prepare ourselves. If we love God, if we say, God, I give you my heart. We just sang that song today, right? I give you my all. We have to prepare. The Holy Spirit say, yes, I take your word. One day I will send you. And so they continue fast and confirm that voice of the Spirit, and then they lay hand and send them off. They send their best off. And they have to continue to depend. So Antioch Church got to continue to depend on the Holy Spirit. Barnabas and Paul also have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Because here, the Bible then doesn't tell us immediately when the Holy Spirit says, set them apart for the work to which I've called them to do. The Holy Spirit didn't tell Barnabas and Paul, okay, I'm going to send you to where? The Holy Spirit didn't say that. Just like Abraham, when he was called to go, he didn't know where he would be going. That's what depending on God means. We can't tell God, you have to tell me everything, then I'll decide what to do. No. God said, you just follow me. So God give us the first step. We obey, then He show us the next step. Go far. So they went very far. They went to Cyprus and then to Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. Now, Turkey, or in those days, Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, will have very significant role, both in the first century, as well as in my own meditation, it will play a very major role in the end times as well. Turkey, currently is an Islamic country, all right? Turkey is strategically placed. It is both Europe and Middle East. God sent them there first. So both Eastern Europe and Middle East received the gospel first. And then from there, gospel went to Europe. And by the end of Book of Acts, the gospel, through persecution, because Paul faced the persecution, he went all the way to Rome, which was, at that time, it's like the New York of the world, Rome. There's a phrase, that all roads leads to Rome. And from Rome, because all roads leads to Rome, gospel spread from Rome because of persecution. And from Rome, it went to England, it went to Germany, it went to Switzerland, to the Europe. I'll just end by saying this. You know a little bit of your Baptist church history in Malaya. I'm from Presbyterian. Presbyterian started in 1885, just probably 10, 20 years earlier than Baptist here, from England Presbyterian. They received the gospel from the first century to Europe, right? And these missionaries, listening to the call of God, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, they are willing to lay down their comfort. willing to go beyond their comfort zone. So they went all the way to Malaya. 1881, Reverend John Cook. All right, I almost say John Cook. Reverend John Cook came all the way from Presbyterian England, England Presbyterian Church. He landed in Singapore. At that time, Singapore, Malaya is one, all right? Landed in Singapore, Prinsep Street. Started the work. And ministering to the migrants from China, all right? From the coast of China. 1885, he started the first church in JB for Presbyterian. It's called the Holy Light Church. And, you know, those times, they even have very good rapport with the Sultan. So the church land that the first Presbyterian church situated, the land is given by Sultan Abu Bakar, the fifth generation of the current Sultan, his great-grandfather. That land given to the church. It's a beautiful land there until today. And Reverend John Cook founded about 16 churches in Malaya. Before finally, after serving for over 40 over years, the Lord took him home. They left their comfort zone. They go very far. Brothers, sisters, if you want to go very far in the kingdom of God, you must lay down yourself. Jesus said, if a seed doesn't drop and die in the ground, he remains one. But if he dies, he will bear much fruit. If you're willing, God can use you. God can use Baptist Church, Desa Park City, to multiply 100 flows. If we are willing to say to God, God, here am I. Use me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the life of the early disciples. How they demonstrated their devotion unto you, their commitment. Because they know the gospel, they have received that grace. And we thank you for the missionaries from the West who have received the gospel, the goodness of God, are willing to hear your voice and move where your spirit leads. And they moved to Asia. They moved to America and they came here. They moved to Australia and they came to Asia and to Africa and to South America and everywhere. Lord Jesus, you said in the last days, there shall be persecution, but the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached until the end. Then I will return. Lord Jesus, you have said that. And so we pray that in the last of the last days that we are living in right now, when days are difficult, give us the grace to continue to preach your gospel. Because your gospel is the only hope for humanity and for the world. And so we take hold of this faith and run the race. By your grace, we want to run the race well until the end. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.